Right, guys, welcome back to the podcast, episode number 6 of Adapting to Change. I'm here with co-host ever-present Alan and part-time Nick. Welcome back, Nick. Did your friends all right today?
Only just. I nearly cancelled, actually, but yeah, I'm here.
Cool. And we're also joined by our fourth guest of the series, Stephen Vickers. Steve, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. So you'll give us today a client's perspective. So we've had colleague, recruitment expert, security expert, and now a client expert.
Indeed.
So to speak.
Ever grateful client.
Ever grateful. And I see it. So before we do a bit of a deep dive into yourself, what you do, we've got some warm-up questions first, just to get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So how do you like to unwind away from work?
I like to tinker.
In what aspect? That sounds a bit weird.
So I'm an avid motorbike fan. I have my own motorbike. I like to do DIY. I don't like to pay people, right?
So you're tight.
I am pretty tight, yeah. I'm pretty tight. So I'll do stuff at home, I'll fix my motorbike, and guilty pleasure playing a bit of Xbox.
What's your current game? This is where you're going to step in. I'm
waiting.
Call of Duty.
Really?
Call of Duty, Warzone, or, to be honest, zombies right now.
I do like zombies.
I'm a COD fan, gotta say.
Which?
The latest, I can't remember what it's called now.
No, Warzone, Battle Royale, or is it multiplayer?
Multiplayer. Always online and free for all.
I just end up swearing a lot.
Are you Xbox?
No, PlayStation.
PlayStation. Yeah, every time I phone Alan, out of hours, if you will, he's either dropping plants off for his wife,
yeah,
or he's playing COD.
There's nothing in between.
Oh, allotment as well. Allotment.
Allotment. Yeah, yeah.
Growing chilies. They're very easy to grow, apparently.
I haven't played COD since I was maybe about 20. I think Modern Warfare 2, and yeah,
it's only on Modern Warfare 3 now.
Yeah, I haven't moved on much either.
I've never played it.
Yeah, FIFA though.
FIFA.
That used to be you back in the day, security ass, 3 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah.
Ring Nick, where is he?
I'm in the office.
Still now, working from home. FIFA's on. Career mode.
Yeah.
Cool. So, favourite takeaway option?
It'd have to be pizza.
Pizza. And why is that?
You do ring up for this. I'm vegetarian. So it's quite limited for what you can get on a takeaway.
I didn't know you were veggie.
Did you not?
I think
I mentioned it a couple of times, just put it out there a few times. But I got married in Italy, and it became a bit like a tradition for me and my wife. So I do enjoy like a decent pizza. You've got to find the right takeaway, but I like to make my own pizza as well.
I've got a big pizza oven at home.
I've got a little one in the garden.
Cool. Is that one of them that makes it in like 30 seconds?
If you get it hot enough, yeah.
Decent. Favourite pastime or sport?
I'd probably just say football, just purely for the fact that I wasn't a massive player of football or anything like that. I used to enjoy five-a-side, playing with mates a couple of times a week.
Nice. Go-to streaming service at the minute? What are you watching?
It's a cross between Netflix, Amazon and Disney. Last night I enjoyed a good episode of Invincible.
What's that? I've not seen that.
It's a cartoon.
All right.
How old are you?
Pushing 40.
Cartoon, I like it. Ordinarily we'd ask what your favourite Sunday roast is, but since you're a veggie, it'd be some sort of nut roast, I'm assuming.
It would actually be a highly processed fake chicken joint.
Sounds lovely.
Honestly, right? Cook it in the bag, cut it off. Looks like a block of tofu coloured with some oven roasted whatever's in the bag. Very nice.
Sounds very appetizing.
Yeah, it's a public service announcement for vegetarians.
Yeah.
Pass.
And is there a place in the world that's on your bucket list that you haven't been to yet that you'd like to go to?
I think I'd like to go to probably Naples, around Pompeii, that kind of thing. As I mentioned, we got married in Italy, got married just north of Milan, and I'd like to go back there, but probably explore a bit more of the country.
Go see like the volcano ruins and
yeah.
Give it a bit of Cool. And I can say, without checking anyone else, you are the most tattooed man in the room.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I've not seen these guys naked.
I've zero. I've no tattoos.
Well, I'll clarify, I've not seen you naked either. I'm just going to put that out there as well.
No, no tattoos. No tattoos.
No tattoos.
I have. I've got a full right sleeve. I've got a half left sleeve. I've got a big Hulk on my leg.
Hulk?
Hulk. I tattooed that myself, actually.
Okay.
So we'll ask you to get that out.
It was a COVID thing. I've got another on my leg.
Is it a COVID thing? Has he got a mask on?
Have you seen it? You follow me to the lure.
I've seen a few of your tattoos.
And then I've got a tattoo of my dog.
What dog?
I've got two dogs, but I've got a tattoo of Mr. Gussie.
Mr. Gussie, you only got a tattoo of one dog.
I have.
That's your favourite, clearly.
He was the OG.
The OG. Cool. What are the other sleeves over there?
So my right sleeve, I won't be able to get it up. It's the story of Batman.
What? Carry on. I was being childish. She said I won't be able to get it up.
Yeah.
So things like that amuse me.
Yeah, all right, okay. Simple minds and things like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
It's the story of Batman. So it's quite morbid, really, when you start to explain it. But it shows his dead parents moving up to when he becomes Batman.
You have to show us that afterwards.
I will show you.
So going into work life, mm-hmm. So currently you work for Form.
I do.
As head of Leeds.
Head of Leeds.
The city.
The city, the region.
So going back to early 20s, Steve.
Yeah.
What were you doing? What kind of were your ambitions?
Well, going back to early 20s, I... On the career path that I'm on now, I left my job working in a wool factory. So I left school, I stayed in sixth form, I left school, and I got a job working in a wool factory making balls of wool. In a mill.
Along with that?
In Yorkshire, making balls of wool. And that's where I met my wife, she worked there, and I've been with her since I was 17. And I slowly realised I needed a bit more money. And I needed to get into a different career other than making balls of wool, and decided to move into security. So early 20s, around about 21, 22, I think, I started working for Securitas, and I started working at what was then Clarence Stock as security. Although it wasn't my first place, I was employed for there, and I got sent to... At the time, one of the most hellish places ever, which were two job centres on the outside, outskirts of Leeds, and it was a short, sharp shock to reality about what security was in those in those spaces.
Is this pre-SIA or post?
No, this was post-SIA,
okay.
But it was very new to me, so it was very new to that environment, you know, and being on that front line, you know, kind of thing, threatening to get punched because you didn't know how to give someone a piece of paper quick enough. Mm-hmm. It was a sharp, sharp shock.
That's Seacroft, by any chance?
It was Seacroft,
was it really?
Actually. And then I went to Hunslet Job Centre, and I did a couple of shifts there. I worked for about a couple of weeks until Clarence Stock was ready. So yeah, that was...
When was that?
That was 2007-ish, I think. So yeah, I was 21, 22... And just centered into security, and then started working at then Clarence Stock.
Who employed you for Securitas then? Who was it? So I think you joined there a year before I moved to Wakefield.
Yeah, I think Gareth Ward was the branch manager. I can't remember who I interviewed with. No. It might have even been with, there was a trainer called John.
John?
Yeah.
John Turner.
Yeah. And it might have been John. I'm not 100% sure.
He was an interesting character, blast from the past.
Yeah, I remember stories in the training about his wife and
she just appear on slides.
Yeah.
Yeah, just randomly.
Yeah. It reminded me of the guy from the American Office. Have you seen that? So there's a scene where he's trying to seduce a woman, and every so often he puts a picture of himself like modelling. And that was John Turner going through the slides, then me picture of his wife. It's like,
you're not like Michael Scott.
Yeah, Michael Scott. And it's like, who's that? Oh, sorry, that's my wife. How did that get in there? It's your PowerPoint.
I love American Office.
It is amazing.
Controversial, this, because like, my colleague Alex, he loves The Office, and he would avidly say English Office is by far the best.
Mm.
I just prefer American Office because there's that much more of it. You get invested in the characters.
Yeah, I love it.
It's actually Michael Scott. It was just a little film.
Yeah. Season one.
Threat Level Midnight.
Yeah, it's a great film, to be fair. But season one and two are a bit ropey, but three onwards.
We'll see.
You guys haven't seen them, have you?
Yeah, I have seen them.
All right. For some reason, I thought you hadn't.
The first couple of episodes of season one, it's trying to be the English Office, and it's like, it doesn't work.
But I like it.
I'm a massive like movie and TV fan. I've probably got too much time on my hands on a weekend.
No, I do like The American Office. It's on repeat at my house constantly.
Yeah.
Just in a loop.
Yeah. That and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
But never watch it.
Never watch that.
Try that next. See, watch it. I could say
I'm going to, but I'm not.
Show you down. So spinning back, so you've just been appointed, I'm guessing, as a frontline security officer.
Yeah, I joined as a security officer. And then shortly after, I think there was a few staff that moved around. I applied for a supervisor role and got the supervisor role. And I worked under a general manager who worked on the client side, and then a security manager who worked for Securitas still, but within the security team, looking after it. It was a brand new estate at that point. 2007, it had just been finished. 1,100 apartments, 1.2 million square foot overall. And it was a big development. And certain people moved and left, and then actually I applied for the manager's role after being there a couple of years, and one of the main points was the shift pattern. Shift pattern was awful. It was three on, so three days, three nights, three off.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Brutal.
So I'd done that for a couple of years, and I'd had enough of that. But also, I knew the estate well. I knew the people there. I'd come to know them over, you know, time. I'd worked under that manager that was there, and he left. He moved on to something else. There's a nice chap called Graham Dentith. Still keep in touch with him. He's on LinkedIn now. He says hello every now and again.
I remember Graham.
Do you remember?
I think Ross was the branch manager for Securitas.
He was, yeah.
But mate of mine, Ross. So he, when there was a potential free lunch, he'd take me along. So we go to the Italian on the dock.
Yeah.
With Graham, we go down. And what tend to happen 9 times out of 10 is they won't let us pay because Graham were there. So we're like, oh, fair enough. So me and Ross will go somewhere as well. So.
Graham's coming. Yeah, Graham's coming. Yeah. He was there every day, wasn't he?
So
he left. Then I applied for his role, and I interviewed it with Ross, a couple of others in that were involved at that time, and then started working still through Securitas, but directly for the owner at that point on Lendlease.
Oh, okay, cool. So what year were we up to at this point?
This is probably around 2010, 2011. So I did a year or so working under Lendlease, following their guide of how they wanted the estate running. And then the owners now, Allied, bought the estate in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 months after they purchased it, I went to work for them. Damn. And that was my first introduction to being a property manager. Never run a service charge up until that point. I'd never managed individual contracts at a contract level. It was all still very new. And, you know, I needed quite a bit of time to learn how that process worked.
So you've been doing that for 13 years now, 12, 13 years?
Yeah, so since March 2012.
How's the role migrated since day dot to now, I'm guessing?
It's quite different. Yeah, it's quite different. So at the time, it was just that estate. It was that property. Looked after the site services, such as security, cleaning, maintenance, the service charge budget, meeting with tenants, and so on and so forth. And it's gone from being that end of the scale to now looking after the estate, but looking after it from a much heightened level, getting involved in terms of fit-out works, construction to a certain extent, managing construction contractors, site service contractors.
I remember we had a conversation pre-Christmas and you were talking to me about getting one of the bridges restructured or something. I'm just like, straight
it's
up.
It's actually happening next week. So, funnily enough, I've been talking to another one of our good contractors, Agilis. Agilis, I've worked with the chap who runs Agilis, James. I've worked with him for many years. And anyway, I'm talking to them about it this morning because we actually have to jack up the bridge. So this
part.
Yeah, this bridge effectively crosses from Leeds Dock over the River Aire to Rose Wharf. I don't know how big it is, what the span is. It's got to be, 30 metres or so, 40 metres. And it lands on one of the islands, and the island's flooded in the past, with River Aire, and it's effectively corroded all the bearers. So we've got to lift the bridge up, take them out, drop some new bearers back in, drop the bridge back down.
Sounds easy.
Yep. It's been a year in the planning. We had an assessment done, and they said, these look a bit rusty. Let's have a look at it. Yeah, you're not wrong. That's quite astute. And they're knackered. Okay, let's get someone in and get them replaced.
Quite costly, I can imagine.
But yeah,
it was pretty specialist as well.
Yeah, really specialist. We ended up having to go back to the original base build for that specific element of the bridge. Mm. And we went to them and said, can you come out, have a look at it? Need to assess the damage. Basically, the steel had delaminated. So it had rusted, but it only rusted back to a certain point. So it was still safe, but it needed doing. But they were down as the original manufacturer of that bearer. It's a company based out in Barnsley, I think. And we had a few site meetings with them, and they said, yeah, you need to replace them. This is the method. This is how we do it.
So on Leeds Dock now, how many tenants do you have within the dock that you look after? How many apartment buildings?
So the estate, like I said before, 1.2 million square feet. I don't know how many acres that translates to, 13, 15 acres, something like that. There's 1,100 apartments. We don't directly manage the actual apartments themselves. They're managed by each individual block owner, mm-hmm. our block managing agent. But there's a direct relationship there. They're part of the estate. So 1,100 apartments. We've got 20 or so tenants, commercial tenants. Some of them are sub-tenants within department, which is, a big multi-tenanted building. And then you've got other occupiers on the estate, such as Royal Armouries Museum, Holiday Inn Express, New Dock Hall, Stanley House, quite a few.
Hmm. What are the plans for Leeds Dock over the next... Because obviously it's grown in terms of its occupancy and tenancy over the years. What's the plans for it?
When I say we, talking through...
The Royal We.
Because I work very closely with Allied as the owner of the estate. When we redeveloped the estate back in 2014, 2015, we went from being a... what was considered in the city a failed asset. And what I mean by that is it originally launched as a retail destination with, 10, 12 retail occupiers, leisure occupiers, and it didn't work. It was in that catchment where it was too close to the town and it was too far away from town, and the shops that were there were never going to succeed because they had the same shops in the city centre. So when Allied purchased the estate, there was a few of them that were hanging on. And the decision at that point was to actually look at the estate and look at what we want to achieve and how do we see the estate maintaining over the next 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it may be. And it was obvious that retail and leisure solely was never going to work. So the estate was redeveloped into being predominantly workspace and workspace led with some additional leisure on the top of it. Mm. And it worked really well. We were 100% let for a good few years, and then following COVID and some other things that occurred, a couple of tenants moved out, but they were large tenants to us. So we're going to spend some time over the next 12 months, especially looking at what do we see for Leeds Dock now? How do we reposition? How do we look at how the estate performs, where it sits within the city centre? Because we're no longer in the same position that we were 10 years ago when we were at the very edge of the city centre and we were this very new development that was perceived to be failed. We're now a successful development in and amongst a growing and expanding city. We've got other developments taking place around us, such as like Points Cross, the Tetley site, which is going to be a park in that area, yeah. Green space. You've then got colleges, schools all around us, and then another company that I do some work with, Situ, expanding further out into what would be city centre. And we're now positioned as almost a hub, and we're perceived to be quite a creative destination for workspace. It's not like what you see in other spaces. So we're taking all of that, looking at how we reposition Leedsdock and what we want to actually be moving forward. So it'll be a rebranding exercise, there'll be some planting, there'll be better use of the estate space, and it'll be quite exciting to see what happens over the next 12, 24 months.
Cool. We'll do a little bit of a deep dive into what you're doing later this year, a little bit later on.
Sure.
As the chat goes, in terms of service provision, you've been using Adept since 2017, 2018?
Yep.
Since our inception?
Yep.
How's that from a client perspective? Obviously, you've seen both sides of the coin, from working as a security officer, yep, to now being the contract holder.
Yep.
How's the journey been with Adept from start to today?
Is this answer going to depend whether we take him out for lunch afterwards?
Entirely.
Depends where you take him.
Nando's is not an option.
Not now.
Not some peri peri chips. I think when you look at Adept 2017, 2018, it was a very new company, and you know, there was a lot of time spent figuring out how the company should run and how it should operate on each individual site. And I think when you've got that with any new company, there's always going to be challenges. So taking that into account, when you look at the process from inception through to now, you can see how the company's matured, and you can see how practices have come into place and how management has taken a different view on how the company should operate and then what it means to each individual employee. I think, every security company, we've used different security companies over the years working at Leedsdock. They've all got their different take on it, and a lot of the time people perceive it as bums on seats. Mm. You know, we need to fill a contract with a number of hours, and as long as we're hitting that, it's working. Mm. And that's changed massively over the last 10, 20 years. And that really comes across with Adept, to be fair. I'm not saying it because I'm a guest on your podcast. It comes from somewhere where I've physically seen that take place. And we've got, speaking from the Leedsdock perspective, there's good training mechanisms in place. There's good management processes in place. I think having something like this is addressing the nation. Having something like this, it goes a long way towards giving employees, I won't say a voice because obviously it's very difficult, but a platform for them to be able to engage with management on a very different level, which I don't think any other security company really provides. So purely having that ability to be able to ask questions, gauge responses, it's gone from there to there.
Yeah. Have you ever been at a point throughout where you thought, this isn't really working for me from a service delivery point of view, and where you've been kind of close to firing the trigger?
Definitely. This morning when Nick suggested Nando's.
What sort of turned that round? From where you were,
we agreed to go Taco Bell instead.
We've been in the industry a long time, and you get to that point where there's contracts that are kind of teetering on the edge, and some drop and some don't. What kind of kept us in the fight?
I'll be honest, it's not been in that position with you guys. I've never been in that position with you. I've been at it with another contractor before Adept came along, and a lot of it was down to how they managed the contract and the time that they wanted from me. So like with any other client, you'll set up like monthly meetings, you'll set up KPIs and SLAs to see how the contract's running. And when there's like fundamental issues from a management level that start to drop, you have to start thinking about the contract and how it's performing. It's not necessarily always about staff and on-site performance. It's just at a contract level. But I haven't got to that stage with Adept. I don't think we've had the need to.
Cool. I mean, that's decent to say. We've come on board 7-8 years or so ago, a startup, to now, to never be at that point. That's,
yeah,
you know, it's a good shout out to the previous management team, and obviously before we joined the business, you've been 2.5 years, 2 years, 18 months. So that's good. I think for me, because obviously I'm based down at least, like, predominantly, yeah. I think it's good that there's that constant dialect, and that stuff doesn't, you know, you'll know stuff can drag out over the course of a month, and then you go to KPI and it's like, oh crap, I forgot about that. And we tend to nip stuff in the bud quite quickly, which is decent, and also helps that we've got the happiest cleaner in the world.
I think Daniel's a credit to, you know, to all of you guys. I think everybody on Leeds.net knows who he is.
He's amazing.
He says hello to everyone. He's never unhappy to be at work. You see, first thing, I generally see him, I get into the office around about 7:15, 7:30 most days, and he is the first person I see, and he always shouts, "Hello, boss, how are you?" You know, like, "It's Monday, good to be back." He's never got a frown, and I think that's, you know,
he's a credit. Seen him not have a massive smile.
No, but that's the thing. He's actually going, isn't he? He's just sort of sets you up for the day. Great guy.
I think you've sent me about 4 or 5 pictures of you with him all the time. He's big smiles. I'll just be sat there and I'll get a message from you. So I'll Alan's at Leeds. He's with Daniel. Another picture.
So, from a service delivery point of view, as a client, what's important for you? Because, I mean, a lot of our staff listen to this. So this is kind of good for us to get that message across, that this is what, you know, you want out of service delivery, what's important to you, rather than just looking at a bottom line, a pay rate and a charge rate.
I think the fundamentals are obviously delivery on site. It's being accountable for the service that you're actually providing, but also feeling like you're empowered enough to be able to make decisions and know that, you know, common sense is generally what prevails. So if you're in a situation and you think that you need to make a decision, I'd suggest make that decision. And, you know, as long as you're approaching it from a common sense perspective, from my side, me specifically, and I'm assuming yours, you would have their backs in that situation. So beyond the fundamentals of actually delivering the role, I would say there's things that we have to provide to clients at the same time, such as accurate reporting, being contactable, being the face of that asset and that development. So, like Daniel, you know, when you turn up on site, you get that good experience of them. You know, they're in their uniform, they're happy to be there. I think those are the really good points, and I don't think you can quantify, like, Daniel is as a standard. He goes above and beyond. So
excellent.
Cool. So circling back to Form, who you obviously work for. If anyone watching who doesn't know, what is Form? Who are they? What do they do?
Form is a property company. We manage different properties, commercial, multi-tenanted buildings, external estates. We provide various different services, such as facilities management. We provide rates mitigation. We provide sustainability management. We'll work with each individual landlord or client and ultimately ask, what do you want to achieve from that property? Do you want core property management services? Do you want asset management services? Do you want sustainability? What are your goals? And then we try and work with them along those lines. The core of the business is always going to be statutory maintenance and compliance and management of that property itself, managing contracts such as security, cleaning, different maintenance. But ultimately, it's governed by what that client wants.
Fair. How big is Fulham? Is it national? Is it predominantly Yorkshire North West? Or
yeah, it's quite regional. I think, you know, every company, we've always got goals to get out there a bit more. Predominantly in Leeds and Manchester. I've got Leeds Dock. I've got a couple of contracts with another client, Situ. And then we've got properties in Manchester based across Spinningfields, St John's. We've got Versa as a film studio business.
Leeds and Manchester.
They've got property in London. I don't know if we actually look at anything in London. But
how's that picked up again? Because obviously it slowed down a lot with the strikes over in the States.
Yeah, it did. Last year was tough from the film industry. But this year it's picked up massively. Looking at Versa Leeds, we've got people in there now filming, making use of the space.
So what's on the agenda for Leeds Dockland for 2024? What sort of like events or things like that have you got in the pipeline?
We like to try and run a calendar of events. So we've got a couple of pillar events that we always run every year. We've got the Waterfront Festival.
What's involved with that?
So the Waterfront Festival I think it takes place over the entire city, but on the waterfront. I think this year might be slightly pared back. I think we might be the only ones doing it, but it's effectively, we use the entire estate, we put on some fairground rides, we put on street food, we have a dragon boat race in the dock, we've got a couple of lift bridges in the dock, so we lift one of the bridges up, we race from the bottom end of the dock up to the lock gates itself.
Skywater.
Yes. So,
we're just getting ready because
we've got two teams.
Have you?
You got two. I thought we had one.
No, two.
I didn't think we had enough people for one.
No, Will contacted me to say he's got a few more people to join the team.
Will from EPAM.
Yeah. So I contacted Steve and Alex and said, look, we need another team. So we've paid for two now.
Have you paid?
It's paid. It's paid for two teams. It's good. So we just need to fill the boats now.
It is good.
That's your job.
You're going to have tough competition.
Yeah.
Situ, they're an avid dragon boat race competitor. I don't know if they're going to take place. I don't know if it crosses with something else that they're doing. But
how big's the boat?
It's, well, we changed it last year. So originally it was 17 people in a boat. So you'd have
the rest.
Yeah, you'd have 16 people rowing and then one drummer trying to keep time for everyone. I think last year we changed it so you had 11 people in the boat. So it's a bit easier to manage for teams and things like
five
that.
Five and five and then one at the front.
I'll be honest, I'd have to check with Alex to see what size boat we've gone for. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm sure when I asked him, he said 15 in a team, 11 in a boat.
Right, that's fine, yeah. So you've got a couple of subs that you can...
Yeah.
We always end up taking part in, like, as ringers for different boats.
You can jump in ours.
Or don't jump, it probably will happen. Might tip if you jump in it.
What do you mean?
So
I don't know what you mean.
Not you being a big guy. Just jumping in general.
I thought it was a riskier one then, Nick.
Anybody jumping in a boat.
So when's the dragon boat race?
Sorry?
Backpedalling in one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, 29th of June.
29th of June.
Yeah.
That's the day of England v...
There's no fixture.
Someone.
But when England win the group, they'll play at a latter stage.
Oh, that'd be a latter stage.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Are you guys doing a... Because you were talking about having a fan park down there.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
We need to book somewhere because that's going to be our summer social.
I think that if you go in Canary, they've got TVs now. They've got big screens in there where I don't know if they're going to show the England game, but they're going to be showing football throughout
why,
the Euros.
Why was that that it kind of died off? Was that due to like the logistics of the area, safety, noise, everything?
Many things. Cost of a screen for one. I think we were looking at it with a partner and it was going to cost like tens of thousands of pounds just to put a screen on. We were looking at partnering with them, but then we'd have to pay for the additional management of it as well, so the cleaning, the security,
yeah.
Because if you go anywhere and you're showing an England game, tons of people are showing around. Yeah.
Can you not do anything at, is it Ferns, is it called, on the dock? Can you not do anything there, show football there?
I don't know, I'll let them decide on that, but we do have a screening room, we do have a cinema room, so maybe we do show some games in there.
Because the plan is with the Depths, putting two teams in, like I said, but we are going to use it as a summer social, so we're going to have a bit of a bring some frontline members of staff down.
Okay.
I'm expecting more or less everyone from the office to come. There's one or two who said no, but
it's a couple of skeptics,
but we'll see.
We'll be there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then win the Dragon Boat race, and then
win it.
Go out for a few drinks after.
How many races? Sorry.
There's usually three. So you take, well, there's usually three heats, and then if you qualify as like your fastest time in the top three, you go into a semi and then a final. So
yeah,
you might end up having five races in the day.
It's fine.
I think usually like to, I think the winning time is usually around about sub 50 seconds, and the one top dock, if you call it, like the thinner dock, that's about 95, 100 metres, and then you've got probably about another 80 metres on top of it, so it's about a 200 metre race.
In under a minute?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah. I think even one of the boats that I've jumped on before, where we end up being ringers, we managed to achieve it in like, I think our fastest time was like 1:06 or something. And this was just filled with like half drunk builders.
Give it a go, see what we can do.
Yeah. Should be good. So that's June.
Sorry, yeah. So that's Waterfront Festival, Dragon Boat Race.
So what else is on apart from the Dragon Boat Race? What?
Within the festival?
Yeah.
There's street food. I think we usually do something with like Northern Street Food Awards. So there's like a heat that usually takes place. There'll be some ancillary activity. I think one year we had some break dancing, something like that. We have fairground rides. We have different stalls, like people selling stuff and whatnot. It's a really good atmosphere.
Good.
If anyone wants to get involved in that, the best contacting Alex.
You can go on to Eventbrite. It's on Eventbrite.
Oh, okay.
And I think you can get a boat through that. However, I think they're all pretty much sold. It's gone really well.
Yeah. All gone.
Well, this is a question: which one of your boats is going to win?
We're going to finish first and second. That's the plan.
All right. Okay.
But no, we'll do an A team, people who are willing to train and take it serious, and then we'll do a B team, people who are going for the summer social.
Right, okay.
That's the plan. Do some trials, make sure people are up to standard.
So you've got Summer Festival.
Summer Festival, and then we've got Light Night that we always take part with. That's the citywide event.
It's around Christmas, is it?
October. It's getting towards that end. You know, near Christmas.
It's Halloween.
Winter.
It's nearer Halloween, you're correct there, Nick, but it's towards there. But that's like a massive citywide event. We've taken part in that since 2015. Last year we had a massive piece on the boulevard just outside department.
I remember that being installed. Yeah. I remember shuddering as John, our security manager, was helping get that installed off a crane.
John was helping, I was helping, Alex was helping. If you'd have been there.
I was cheerleading, I was just on the sidelines.
Watching.
I saw you look at it and just like turn away.
Risk assessment. Yeah,
pretend you're on a phone and walk off.
Yeah, pretty much.
It had been fully assessed.
I had. You all had gloves on and you all had safety footwear.
Yeah, we did.
So light night.
We generally do something like smaller stuff around Valentine's, stuff around Christmas, Halloween, that kind of thing. We also take part in one that's coming up in May, UK Reef, which is a big property event. And I think it's grown year on year.
We were the supplier of security services for the event last year.
Yeah.
We aren't this year. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
It's not our
management.
No.
We're involved in it.
Yeah. But the docks hosts the event.
We do.
So there's New Dock Hall, there's the Royal Armouries, there's all sorts of...
So Leeds Dock hosts it along with Royal Armouries. We've got a very close partnership with them in terms of how we approach the actual event itself. This year we held a public consultation, or a resident consultation, let's say, which was met with great success. And we provided some time for people to come down, have a chat with us, talk about what it means for them, for the actual estate and areas that will be closed off and things like that. But it's gone from being the original event, 3,000 to 5,000 people per day. This year we're expecting 10,000 to 12,000 people per day. It's grown from being just in the central area on the armouries to being in the armouries, on the dockside, up the boulevard, taking over the tilt yard, literally looking at whatever space that we can use for the event. Property-led, property-focused. A lot of the councils come to it.
Mm. I was going to say, last year there was a lot of big players out there, wasn't there? Andy Burnham came down, Gary Neville came down from Northwest point of view and the all key decision
makers. Yeah, the Manchester City Council, Leeds City Council, Liverpool, Boroughs of London, City of London, loads of different organisations.
It was rammed, wasn't it, last year?
It was busy. The weather was great.
I think last year presented some challenges, and it was very difficult to try and react in a short space of time to account for those issues that we were told that were going to happen. And I think this year it's allowed us to plan a lot more for it.
Yeah.
I think some of it, you guys bear the brunt of it, because you're obviously providing that frontline service. So.
Yeah, so I mean, there were issues, weren't there, with tenants and wanting to get into buildings, apartments.
All sorts, mixed messages, different areas, and I suppose that's always going to occur when you're trying to actively deal with something as it's changing.
Mm. So when's that?
That is 21, 22, 23 May.
So I'll avoid the docks on that week in
those particular. Days.
It will be busy everywhere. Yeah, busy everywhere.
Cool.
No parking. No nipping in ferns for a discounted coffee. Just
They've hired it, haven't they? They've hired the space.
They've hired a lot of department, yeah. So they've spoke to a couple of our tenants as well. They've taken space inside different tenant areas and all sorts.
I mean, it's great for the docks. It's
brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant for the city. It's brilliant for the dock. I think it goes towards over that week, because obviously we've got the setup, the event, the D-rig. I think for the course of that week, it brings in tens of millions of pounds into the city itself.
Mm.
You know,
I'm going to say good luck getting a hotel room in Leeds that week. Absolutely
no chance. What happened? They're probably already booked.
Mm. I know we jest about obviously not being the service provider for it this year, but it's good for the area. Like you said, good for the docks, good for farm.
Very good for farm, yeah. We actually sit on their leaders group, so we meet with their core team every month. We go to a meeting, a round table type event.
In London?
Yeah, sometimes, predominantly in London. I think there'll be a couple of them that are local based, just in and around the actual event itself. But yeah, it's in London. Guest speakers at each one. I think we're also going to take some kind of speaking sessions at the event this year itself as well.
Excellent.
Just see how.
Is that form or?
Yeah, as form.
You?
No, hopefully not me. I'm not a massive fan of public speaking, but yeah.
So what's the plan, get Fatima to talk about sustainability?
It'll be talking about sustainability.
It's a beautiful segue, Nick, because that was going to be my next question. I've seen on LinkedIn a few bits about Form Sustainable, sustainability, sorry.
Yeah, Form Sustain.
Form Sustain. Talk to us about that. That's a new initiative.
It is, yeah. I mean, the services that I touched on that we provide in Form, we've got these sub-brands that sit within the Form group, if you like. Form Sustain being a big part of that, where we'll work with clients on each asset to look at actually what they want to achieve and how they go about achieving those goals from sustainability and an ESG perspective. So looking at what's currently there, auditing that site and providing practical measures to be able to progress forward in that sustainable initiative. It could be anything from what do you provide for staff members, what do you provide for visitors to that space? It could be how you're affecting biodiversity in that area. Do you provide green transport links? What do you do with your waste? It extends to every part of the property. And I think the first step is always having a look at what you're actually doing and then the best ways forward from that.
Cool. So if anyone wants to get in touch on that, where the best to go to and who the best to speak to?
I think if you go on to Form website, which is formproperty.co.uk.
We'll hit a link in the description of the podcast video.
You'll be able to find Form Sustain from within there. And I think most recently we shared some posts out on LinkedIn.
Yeah, cool. And beehives.
We do have beehives.
Talk to me about beehives.
So this was something that Alex Webb, my colleague, pushed last year. And we partnered with a company, and the name escapes me, but we effectively put on two beehives on Ferns Island, where the bridge sits that we're going to jack up. And
we'll prove the beehives.
We'll protect the bridges. We'll protect the bees. Don't worry. But we've got two beehives on there. They sit on the island and they actively produce Leeds Dock honey. So
can you buy that?
I think. I'd have to check with Alex how we process it, but I think the company that we partner with, they take predominantly the honey itself. They manage the beehives, and then they give us an allowance of that honey back, and I think that we've used it in ferns. We've used it to give out to tenants and occupiers and people that we work with, like a jar of Leeds Dock honey. And I'll be honest, it's one of the best honeys I've ever had. It's really nice.
You could have brought us some today.
I could have, but we haven't got any. The bees have been working, mate.
Is it?
They haven't produced enough yet.
Next time they produce some.
You could have some with your boiled eggs, your fried eggs.
You poached.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You could have an egg and honey smoothie.
That sounds a bit random, to be fair. Yeah,
you do what you want.
I'll try anything once.
Because that's what our office is named, isn't it?
Yeah, the office is Alvarium, which is Latin for beehive.
Oh, right, very nice.
So it would be.
So you often find yourself having to explain
that
what
came,
it means.
That came from Verity, didn't it?
Yeah, Verity from Forum actually came up with that name. We're after something, she popped up.
Alvarium.
It's called Alvarium. We don't have any beehives.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I would love a beehive. Wow. That sounds weird.
On the roof?
So there's this. Steele probably know by looking into the beehives, but there's this theory that if bees went extinct today, within 4 years, mankind would be gone.
Yeah.
They're like massively important to the environment, to life itself.
Pollinators.
I don't know why. I just know they are.
Pollinators, because all the bees pollinate different flowers. So if there's no bees to do that, there's millions.
Well, then
billions.
Animals eat the. We eat, well, Steve doesn't, but we eat the animals. And then
I actually rescued a bee. Once I'm into paddle boarding and
I've done that once.
Have you?
Yeah, it's a few years ago, but it was up in the lakes. It was like around Easter time and it just snowed.
Oh, right.
It was freezing because you inevitably fall in.
Yeah, well, I've fallen in I think twice, and that was the first time I did it. And then I went paddle boarding just between Scarborough and Flamborough. I went out to sea and I went to jump on my board and I overshot it and just dived in the water. But I rescued a bee going, my friend lives down near Doncaster and just on the river, and it was like upside down, like spinning away on the water. So I picked it up with my oar, put it on the paddle board and then took it into the riverbank and rescued the bee.
Quite the humanitarian.
There we go. Cool story.
This, I'm going to use it. I'll change you for me, but sometimes people like to have a bee.
Sound.
But no, all joking aside, I would love some honey, if possible.
I'll tell you what, I'll have a chat with him and I'll get you all a jar of honey.
Because you did mention potential sponsorship of a beehive.
Well, we actually want to build on what we've got on the island, and it's something that we're trying to progress with a landscape company that works within department with us. So we've got an office in Department Leedsock, and another occupier in there is a company called Reform Landscaping, and I think they want to get involved and help us design something in that space where the beehives are to build allotments, and it'd be like a community garden where we need to set up the management of it and think about how it would work, because it is literally an island isolated in the river, but it would be sponsorship of the allotments itself.
Yeah, interesting.
I think when you mentioned allotments, I think you're certainly
absolutely.
That's why
I'll
glanced over.
Love me allotments, so
plenty of chilies.
Absolutely, little greenhouse blueberry. Yeah.
We can sponsor in labour. Just we'll send our
I'll absolutely come and help. So definitely,
I think the plan is to have it there so people can get actively involved in it, and you know they'd be responsible for it for certain days. They'd look after it, and then we'd have someone go in on a weekly basis or.
Well, Form have got the little lot, haven't they, at Spinningfields?
I think Alex was involved in that certain times at Spinningfields, so it's very much along the same lines. We want to provide something at Leeds Dock that follows that ESG initiative. So.
Cool.
Nice.
And Adepts have signed up for Form Sustain, is it?
Form Sustain.
Sustain. So I'm meeting Fatima next week just to get the ball rolling, but we are now a client of Form. And,
very good.
And Fatima will be looking after our sustainability strategy.
Any other points you want to cover, gents?
Just a question. In your time in property management, how has it evolved? How do you think the environment and the spaces have evolved?
I think...
Especially pre and post-COVID.
going back to when I first started looking at property, it was very, very corporate in terms of like the world in which you sit in. And I remember going to work dressed in a suit, shirt, trousers, you know, a typical like blue, grey suit, whatever, compared to literally this is how I dress to go to work kind of thing. I think it's something that's happened across the entire industry and other industries as well. So I think just the view of how it appears has changed massively. But from a COVID perspective, thinking about when you went from having all these spaces filled with people and then suddenly there was no one going into those buildings, I think at that point you had to really think, how are we going to use these spaces? How can we bring them back into use from a workplace perspective, leisure or whatever it may be? And I think it's changed because of the flexibility that people want. I think when you look at the space that we've got at Leeds Dock, it's quite unique. The workspace that we've got, it's not your conventional office. It was a ground floor commercial unit that we redeveloped into being a workspace. And we've kind of worked with our tenants to allow them to use it how they need to use it. And it might be redeveloping part of it to provide them with some breakout spaces that they didn't have before, provide their staff with alternative uses. One of the tenants that we've got in there at the minute, they had two units on the estate, and it was very much along the same lines as everywhere else. Ground floor workspace, mezzanine workspace. And they said, well, we don't need to use it for that anymore. Mm-hmm. So they've gone through a refit of half of that space, and they've developed, you know, breakouts. So we're looking at even putting a little gym in there at one point. So I think looking at how the properties are used and how you can maximise their use has changed massively. It's no longer just it's office or it's leisure or whatever else.
It's just that, you know, things have evolved. I've seen it myself. Been, you know, privileged to go out and look at work with some customers recently, and those office environments have completely changed from what it used to be. Yeah. And like you say, it was very, very corporate. You know, everybody rocks up in a shirt and tie, and now the casual, they want that casual workspace. They want to be able to have that flexibility to come and go as they please. I'm just wondering, you know, whether you'd seen that in the same context, in the same way.
In short, yes.
Yeah,
very much so.
Cool.
I think you've touched on it before, Nick, on previous episodes, how we dress for it. I mean, we don't dress like this, but we almost dress what? For our...
That's how I always meet you.
We dress for our audience. So, I mean, I can't remember the last time I put a suit on, and I always used to wear suit, shirt, tie. And yeah, it's completely changed. The landscape of work has completely changed, which is good.
You still wear your tie though, don't you?
I do. I mean, back in previous life, sort of, it was suit and tie all the time. And a lot more casual than me in my shirts now, but certainly shirt and tie, definitely.
When I think back to my first interview at Securitas, I turned up in a suit.
Sure.
I turned up in a suit. And I remember John, it must have been John, because he must have said something like, he said something along the lines of, you're viewing this as a career opportunity. And I said, I think I said to him, like, yeah, you know, like, I want to make a good impression kind of thing. And when I went along to, like, the SIA training, I remember seeing people in, like, tracky bottoms, T-shirt, whatever, and I'm sat there in a suit. I'm thinking, well, what am I doing?
Next day.
Yeah, well, I think it slowly gradually dropped off even then.
Drop the tie, drop the jacket.
Don't do that,
I mean, in a lot of respects, it's only been last couple of years that I've toned it down, same for you.
Mm. I'll do a shout out to who I said before, James Keelan. I've met with him for years. He provides us with maintenance and contracts for, you know, like planned maintenance and subcontractor maintenance. He was an avid fan of a shiny suit. A shiny suit. Me and Alex always took the piss out of him by saying, why are you turning up wearing a shiny suit? Get rid of your shiny suit.
I couldn't imagine that, to be honest with you, James.
And it slowly tapered off. And
I don't think I've ever seen him in anything of his combat.
I would say his polo shirt now, isn't it?
Yeah, polo shirt all day long. But every now and again, I want him to just break out and turn up in the shiny suit with a tie.
I'll have to ask me about that one.
I've seen some shockers at like company conferences way back, without naming names, but like people turning up in full Matrix leather coats and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, shocking.
What are you?
Probably a few times, but
yeah. Well, anything else?
The only thing I was going to mention, I don't know if you remember this.
What's he breaking out here?
So, if I can find the connection. So, we met in 2008.
It was a long time ago, yeah.
And then in 2016, hang on, 2018, so I worked for another company.
Yeah.
And I reached out to you and said, congratulations on your promotion. So you must have just become a director or something like
that. Yeah. Became head of Leeds.
King of Leeds.
You got it.
So we had a general chit chat, and I sort of said to you, let me know if there's any opportunity with the security contract there.
Yeah.
And you came back to me and you basically said, oh, it's nothing to do with me. We have a national contract somewhere. I'll let you know if anything comes up. And I was laughing with the guys going, I'm glad you fobbed me off now, because we look after the contract. Yeah. But do you remember that?
No,
I don't. You have to have a look on your LinkedIn, on your messages.
You obviously didn't get the message, though. I'm sat here doing a podcast with you now.
Yeah.
Not that you're bitter and hold on.
No.
2018, yeah. So you were on my shit list, but now you're a client now, so I've taken you off.
Is it better now?
So we're fine now. But no, it just made me laugh how, I mean, it's a small industry, really, isn't it?
That
I ended up joining Adepts.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just now we are.
Yeah.
You're doing a good job, mate. You're
all right. So far. Some would disagree.
We'll see where we're going for lunch after.
Yeah. But yeah.
We'll
see
somewhat.
Just made me laugh. When we said you were coming on the show, I said, I'm sure I had a conversation with Bickers on LinkedIn, having a look through. I thought, yeah, still there.
Get him.
Don't need to delete the cash.
But, right, well, thank you for taking time out to come and speak to us.
Quite right.
Much appreciated. It's nice to get a different perspective for the show. So thank you for coming along. We'll link Form Sustain, your LinkedIn bio, and everything else that we've talked about will be in the link of the audio podcast and the video as well. And we will see you next time.
Yeah.